grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, St. Matthew chapter 20, verses 9 through 11, and verses 13 through 15. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the householder. But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do with what I choose, with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" The gospel which is read on this Sunday is unquestionably one of the most difficult gospels read on the Sundays of the church year, because in this parable that Jesus tells, our sense of fairness is offended. Our sense of what is fair. Because at the end of the workday, the owner of a vineyard pays those who had worked only 1 hour the exact same wages he'd paid those who in fact had worked the whole day long. So how are we to make sense of this parable? How are we to understand it? The key to unlocking the meaning of this parable is found in the very first words of the parable. Jesus begins to tell this story by saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like this." The kingdom of heaven is like this story I'm going to tell you. And if we ask, what does Jesus mean by the kingdom of heaven? The answer is that the kingdom of heaven is not a place, but an activity. The kingdom of God is God ruling, God reclaiming his rebellious human creatures. And God does that not by raw power, or by might, but by his kindness and compassion, the kindness and compassion embodied in his Son, whom he sent to establish his rule of kindness and compassion for sinners. And so God established his kingdom not according to rules of fairness, of what we deserve, of some kind of quid pro quo, but according to his mercy. St. Paul puts this so simply and so clearly in his letter to his young co-worker, Titus. St. Paul writes, "When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy he saved us, by the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, which he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being put right with God by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Yes, our sense of fairness is offended by this parable, in which those who work just 1 hour are paid the same as those who'd work the whole day long. And yes, no business could possibly survive, let alone flourish, with that kind of behavior. But the story Jesus tells isn't meant to be a lesson in labor relations and fair wages. Instead, it's a somewhat startling story, which shows how God brings his rebellious human creatures back to himself, not as a matter of our just deserts, but wholly through his grace, his mercy, his compassion, his sheer kindness and generosity. The laborers who work but an hour receive as much as those who work the whole day long. To understand this, let's think for a moment about the penitent thief crucified with Jesus. Yes, we call him the penitent thief, but in the original language, the word translated thief means something far worse than robbery. It means a person who'd stop at nothing in his efforts to overthrow the Roman rulers. In a word, a person with blood on his hands. A person who'd spent much of his life murdering people. A first century Palestinian terrorist. But now, in the last short hours of his misspent life, he turns to Jesus and prays, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replies, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." As Jesus says in his parable, the kingdom of heaven is like this: as much given to the one who turns to the Savior in his last hour as to the one who has turned to him in faith and love his whole life long. Yes, our sense of fairness is offended, and we sometimes foolishly wish that our Maker would treat us fairly. But were the Lord God to treat you and me fairly, there would be no hope for us. Because, as we learn to say in the Catechism, we daily sin much and indeed deserve nothing but punishment. Yes, we may think that what we want is fairness, but what we need is not fairness, but mercy. The grace, the loving kindness, the gentleness, the compassion of God in his Son, Jesus, our Savior. And as sinners who know we cannot make a case for ourselves before the judgment seat of God, as those who have received mercy, as those who know the compassion of the Savior, we are called to extend that compassion to one another and to all our fellow sinners. Our Lord and Savior explicitly said in his Sermon on the Mount, "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Love your enemies." And that is exactly what God did in sending his Son to be our Savior. St. Paul writes, "While we were his enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son." God placed on his Son all our sins. Jesus willingly became the Lamb of God who takes on himself and takes away the sin of the world. Because the wages of sin is death, Jesus died with the unimaginable burden of all sin and all sinners. And so when the Father raised him from the dead, the Father absolved Jesus not of his own sins, because he had none. He absolved him of our sins, which he bore. And so the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is the Father's absolution, his declaration of pardon to the whole world, an absolution which is ours through simple trust in that mercy. Today the Church begins her annual journey to the glad feast of the Lord's resurrection. And that's why this Sunday has that strange name, Septuagesima, which means 70, because it's 70 days until Easter. And on this very first Sunday of our journey to Easter, the gospel reading shows us salvation as the unmerited gift of God. We are justified with God for Christ's sake through faith. We are justified, which means we're put right with God, for Christ's sake, through faith, which is the simple trust which the Holy Spirit works in us. It is all gift. It is all mercy. It is all that love to the loveless shown, that we might lovely be. As St. John says, we love because he first loved us. This is the heart of our faith as Christians. This is the truth which was rediscovered in all its beauty and simplicity in the time of the Reformation. The rather lengthy hymn we're singing appeared in the very first hymn book ever published at that time, a hymn by Paul Sparatus, who helped Dr. Luther prepare that hymn book and who later became the Lutheran Bishop of Pomerania until his death. The hymn expresses our joy in the grace, the unmerited favor, the kindness of God, who does not reward us for our merits, but graciously pardons all our offenses. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.